This is Matt Wells at UN News. Our oceans are unexplored, misunderstood and under threat. That's the message for World Oceans Day on Monday the 8th of June from the world's fastest yachtswoman, Donna Bertarelli. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, Ms. Bertarelli explains how she hopes to draw on her close bond with the high seas and her new appointment as Special Advisor for the Blue Economy for the United Nations Trade and Development Body, UNCTAD, to help protect marine life for the good of everyone on this planet.
What I like about the ocean really is that it is so vast, so deep, and so rich in biodiversity, where life originated three times earlier than terrestrial life. Yet, it is still today so unexplored, misunderstood, and as a consequence, under threat. We took the ocean for granted for so long, and we continue to do so, but we're really running out of time. And I think people are realizing now that the health of humanity is closely linked to the health of the natural world, especially the health of the ocean, which, as you know, covers 2/3 of our planet. It is truly our life support system.
Now, you've just been named, and I should say congratulations, you've just been named the UN Special Advisor for the Blue Economy in light of your strong link to the oceans. And we should also say that you are the fastest woman to have sailed around the world. I guess you know exactly how long that took. Can you remind us?
Yes, well, it took 47 days. We were short of the record, a little bit less of 24 hours. But what I took from this journey is exactly what I've just said. The ocean knows no borders. And the life, the rich life that there is in the oceans is really unknown because we don't know. We know so little about those creatures that live in those vast stretches of water. So my passion really has been reinforced after my around the world. And I can only encourage people to know more and deep dive into the ocean to know how incredible this environment is.
You said recently that a loss of biodiversity, particularly marine biodiversity, has left us exposed to pandemics like this new coronavirus, the COVID. Maybe you could expand on that a bit and suggest how we might benefit from the richness of marine life, which could protect us, as you've already suggested.
Yes, I mean, we need marine biodiversity, which is essential to life on Earth, because the ocean provides for the air we breathe, the food we eat, and the water we drink by regulating the climate and making life possible as we know it. And maybe people don't know that the ocean is home to a quarter of the world's known species and that the rapid degradation of marine ecosystems and biodiversity loss is causing a proliferation of pathogens that can cause life-threatening diseases. And to this point, I think the world leaders are recognizing this because 2 weeks ago, the European Commission released its biodiversity strategy for 2030. And what the report highlights is the urgent need to protect and restore nature for an economic recovery after COVID, as well as the irrefutable link between our own health and that of ecosystems. If we again put numbers into perspective, currently 15% of land and 7% of the ocean have some form of protection. But science really tells us that we need to strongly protect at least 30% by 2030 for the sake of our health and prosperity.
Now that is the message, isn't it, of World Oceans Day 2020 on Monday the 8th of June. So this is a very timely intervention from your part, and I guess you will be working on that as the UN Special Advisor for the Blue Economy. Maybe I could ask you what your concrete objectives are. Is it building on those special marine protected areas that you were just mentioning now?
Well, my message is very clear. I firmly believe that we can combine production and protection. But one can go without the other. I mean, really, they have to work hand in hand. For what we need to find a new financial language of conservation that resonates with all stakeholders. Because the economic value of conservation and of the ecosystem's biodiversity, for example, we know the price of a fish when it's dead, but we don't really know the price of a fish when it's alive, but also the price of a coral reef, mangroves, seagrass. Those need to be assessed versus the economic value of harvesting and extracting these resources, which is how the value of the ocean has been calculated so far. This assessment really needs to be included in economic policies and planning if we're to achieve a sustainable blue economy.
And that's what we need to do by 2030 as part of the Sustainable Development Goals Agenda 2030, which all countries signed up to in late 2015. So let's hope that we are on course for that. And really, that's my next question. How do you tell the story? How do you get your message across about the value, the inherent value, not the sale value of marine life? But how do you do that? Do you have to talk about small island communities that perhaps you've met when you've sailed around the world and that you presumably are in contact with all the time and that you perhaps worry about? Could you maybe give me one or two stories from their point of view?
Well, you know, I worry not only about the few that I've visited, but actually all of the small island states and coastal communities, particularly in developing countries, which are reliant on the ocean for their food, and especially on fish is their primary source of protein. So measures taken by governments to respond to COVID-19 pandemic, which included the confinement and suspension of economic and transport activities in affected countries, are having a social impact, which are devastating, of course. Ocean-based tourism accounts for 30% and 50% of the gross domestic product of those nations. And also 90% of all fishers live in developing countries. And when we know that nearly 90% of the world's fish stocks are now fully exploited, overexploited, or depleted, we need to act towards a sustainable, regenerative blue economy. We really don't have a choice. We cannot continue to operate the way we have done. We can either choose to go back to what we have been doing all this time, or actually choose the blue and greener road, which I think this pandemic, of all the disruption and harm that it has done to people, maybe also, it has brought some light that there are different ways. You know, we all realize that the sky is bluer, that the water is cleaner, and suddenly we can hear the birds in our cities. And I think this connection to nature, you know, I'm hopeful. Maybe this pandemic has brought some positives as well, and we should build on those positives.
I can only echo that, and I hope so. I might point out, though, that UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has also been clear that there's been a real lack of solidarity in combating this pandemic. What's your experience of that? Because you have a business head too, don't you? You're an entrepreneur as well. What's your feeling about how big business might react in the post-COVID era?
Well, you know, today it's the last day of the Ocean Dialogues, which have been organized by the World Economic Forum and the Friends of Ocean Actions. And I really was struck that for the first time in all those conferences, I don't think there was one single speaker that didn't use the word sustainability. I don't even think that one person dared not to speak about sustainability. And what's struck me is that even private sector CEOs of big companies actually were saying to government officials, please, you need to regulate the high seas. You need to stop harmful subsidies. You need to put guidelines in place because our customers are asking for those guidelines because we want sustainable food source. And I think this is really the shift that I could really see from just even last year. Of course, science, NGOs, people that really work in conservation were, you know, I've been saying this for many, many, many years. But really what has changed is that governments really now are speaking the same language, private sector is speaking the same language. And this is really, I think, a shift, and we need to build on that shift.
I hope that that does continue. Now, you don't sound to be any stranger to long meetings. And I was going to really ask you as an aside before accepting to help the UN as the Blue Economy Special Advisor, the UN Conference on Trade and Development, that is UNCTAD. Did you know how many meetings they have every year? I mean, how many are you expected to attend? I can't imagine that you like sitting down for too long.
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I did find out, and this is the first thing that I've asked myself. But in reality, these past 10 years for the work that I've done for my family foundation, and more particularly for the Pew Bertrand Ocean Legacy Program that I have started a few years ago, I attend most of the international conferences anyhow, and I meet regularly with governments. So, of course, this role with UNCTAD would be an extra load. but not so distant to what I'm already doing. So I think I can combine the two quite easily.
Well, Donna Bettarelli, I'd like to congratulate you on your appointment as the Special Advisor for the Blue Economy for UNCTAD and for all your work that you do to promote the interests of the oceans and small island communities that we've only spoken about briefly, but maybe we'll have a chance to talk about again. Many thanks for your time and good luck.
Thank you very much.